In recognition of the mental health needs facing veterans when they return home from service, the Assembly Republican Conference is looking to advance state policies that would prioritize the delivery of treatment in New York to this population. For more on the campaign, including a series of regional roundtables, we're joined by Assemblyman Jake Ashby, a Capital Region Republican who served 8 years in the Army Reserves, including combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, eventually rising to the rank of captain. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be here.
So when we think about the mental health problems that face veterans, what can they consist of? And do they just present in veterans who might have seen combat, or can they manifest in members of the military who maybe never had their lives in immediate jeopardy?
I think they can manifest in both, but I think that time in combat certainly can add to the stress and increase the chances for certain mental illness when they return. But as you suggested, that, you know, they could, both veterans, whether they serve in combat or stateside or somewhere else, you know, outside of the United States, depending on what they're doing, there's a variety of issues that can occur and that they're more likely to incur as veterans serving. And when they return, then adapting and reintegrating back into the civilian world can be challenging. And I think that's when the proclivity for mental illness is really emerges. And having a good support system in line is crucial in being able to navigate that. And, you know, I pointed out yesterday during one of the events that we had, the first one of this tour or series of events that we're doing, is that not having that support system is crucial, and that there's not one piece of legislation in here that's a magic bullet or is going to solve the issue. And in fact, it's unlikely that government itself is going to be able to fully solve the problems of this. It has to come from both informal and formal channels, legislative and non-legislative channels. But I think that the legislation that's on here and legislation that's sponsored on the other side of the aisle seeks to improve the situation greatly.
Well, when you think about the landscape of services that are designed for veterans or just people in general with mental health needs, does it seem like the failure is the result of inadequate resources? Is there not enough outreach? Are programs just not tailored the right way? What seems to be the problem? And does it seem like it's a problem at just the state level, or is this something where our friends in Washington aren't doing us any favors either?
I think it's a combination of all of the above. And when we look back at the population that served our country and the percentage of that population, it made up a larger demographic in past generations. And right now we have, we're lucky to still have an all-volunteer force, but it's a smaller percentage of the population that we've seen in the past. And in result of that, the families and the people that are connected to the people who are serving are less too. So I think there's less knowledge out there. And one of the bills in particular in this legislation, and part of the reason why we're doing this outreach again, is we're expanding, or we're proposing the expansion of the Dwyer program to include law enforcement, first responders, and healthcare workers.
And the Dwyer program's a peer-to-peer program, essentially,
correct,
right?
Correct. So this is where I think we can really harness an increase in awareness and the connection of people out there who maybe haven't served or maybe don't have as much of a connection to the military, but they've served in other capacities. And maybe some of those people have served in the military and they are able to make that connection, and that will help build that bridge.
Well, you mentioned that this is a all-voluntary service that we have now, so it means there's a certain type of person who's entering into our military service, and I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, but I have to imagine these are people who, you know, see themselves as self-starters and proud and might not necessarily be willing to confront mental illness and ask for help. So I guess, one, that sort of picture makes sense to you. Is that accurate? And two, if it is accurate, how do you go about getting people help if they might be reluctant to get help?
I think that's part of the culture, for sure. And I think that could be part of the culture of all of the careers and industries that I mentioned you know, including healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of our providers out there think of themselves as providers and healthcare clinicians and people that want to help, not necessarily be helped. And it's hard for them to reach out in that sense. And I think you can say the same thing for the law enforcement community and our first responders and of course our veterans. But I think there is a cultural shift in this because the people that are involved in those communities, they are seeing the impact that PTSD is having in their lives, in their friends and family, in their coworkers and colleagues who are embraced in this reality right now, you know, going through, you know, a second year of COVID and having to manage the pandemic in a healthcare setting is very, very challenging. And we're starting to see burnout at a rate that we haven't seen in the past. And I think we can say the same thing for first responders and law enforcement and in the military as well. 20 years of war, you know, you and I have talked about mm-hmm. the impacts of that in the past. So I think there is a crucial tie here between all of those industries. And we need to really reach out to this population and build that bridge.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about meeting the mental health needs of New York's veterans, and our guest is Assemblyman Jake Ashby. In the process of these roundtables, as well as just being a member of the Assembly and hearing from people, and being a member of the military, where you obviously know veterans, how much of the challenge to access care stems from just bureaucratic failings? How much of this could simply be improved by having a bureaucracy that functions better? And if that is the case, where that would make a big difference, how do we improve government?
Well, that's a very loaded question.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it. And I think accessibility is there. It's the quality of the services and the quality of care that's been made available that I think people can struggle with, mm-hmm. because, you know, there's VAs and there's VA clinics, you know, set up throughout the state and throughout the country. But depending on who you ask, you know, the quality of their reception there and the quality of the care that they've received when they go there, it varies. And there's a lot of negative connotations surrounding the VA that, you know, for decades it's been viewed upon that way. I know some great people that work at the VA and they do great work. But I also know of some people that have had some horrific experiences there. And I think we can improve. I think we can improve upon that. I think there's gaps in what the VA can provide and what our veterans need and benefits that they've earned that the state can step in and help with. And I think the state has done that in a variety of ways, but it's also been a siloed process because much of the services that the state provides to our veterans are handled through different agencies rather than the Division of Veteran Services, for better or for worse. But I believe that if there were a single agency that were elevated to where it is currently, I think we would see an improvement. Now, I mentioned yesterday during the event that we had, just last week, I had a friend that I had served with who lives out in Michigan. He took his own life last Monday, and I went out and participated in the services out there. And, you know, talking with his family, you know, the quality of the services that he was receiving at the VA were lacking. And even out here in this region, I know the vet center here locally wasn't seeing veterans in person, inside, even in the fall of this past year. And I'm all for telehealth and telemedicine. I think it adds and it is a great thing. But when we have the ability to make that in-person connection, I think that's crucial, especially for these populations. You know, it can't be something that's done, you know, over the internet and expected to be a sustained quality service. I think it needs to have that in-person interaction, knowing that that person is making the effort to make the connection and really be there for the veteran, for the healthcare worker, for that first responder.
You mentioned there the state's Division of Veteran Services and your assembly neighbor, Dee Dee Barrett, a Democrat who chairs the Chamber's Veterans Committee, which you're the ranker on, has legislation that would elevate the division to a more substantial role in state government and kind of overhaul the way it's sort of situated. And you have a bill that I think that would study something similar to that. How important is that kind of change? And do you think that the assembly member's bill should become law? Should we elevate the division and give it, I guess, more prominence in state government?
I absolutely believe it should. And, I'm really pleased that Dee Dee has taken on this task. And we had talked about it earlier, and I do have a bill that would study and then implement the elevation. And her bill just elevates it. So I'm really happy that she's her bill cuts through the red tape actually a little bit, and I think that's a great thing. And what that would do is it would give the agency a seat at the budget table. It would give them a line in the budget, and it would also make them eligible for federal funding. And when we look at other states around the country that have made this change, they've really been able to increase their programming for veterans and build better partnerships throughout their state. Syracuse University has an incredible research arm for veterans, much like Cornell does for healthcare and agriculture. Syracuse does for veterans. And I think this is it's a great opportunity for us to partner with them and solidify this relationship and build on improving services for our veterans.
Well, speaking of Dee Dee, what's been your impression of her as chair of the committee, considering that you have an extensive military background and she obviously doesn't bring that to the position?
We've had a good working relationship. It's been challenging at times, for sure. Mm-hmm. Over what?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, a number of bills. That I've presented, and at times haven't been well received. But in this case, I think in terms of the elevating the division to a state agency, she did take notice with that, and so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. Obviously we have our political differences and our differences, outside of politics. I'm not sure if she has a strong military connection like I do, but I'm grateful that at least she's willing to have that conversation and examine legislation and look to improvement. I think some of the bills that she's put forward, her Veterans RX program, I think is a very good bill. I think the elevation of the division is certainly it's going to take a colossal effort, and I'm glad that she's seemingly up to the task right now.
And it's not something that's necessarily partisan one way or another, whether the division is a cabinet post or whether it's something lower or whatever, right?
I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. I think there's been opportunity to elevate the division for decades, and that includes Republican administrations that have passed on the opportunity.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblyman Jake Ashby. He is a Capital Region Republican who served 8 years in the Army Reserves, including combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, before rising to the rank of captain. Thank you so much for making the time, Assemblyman. I really appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Pressroom is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.